Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
Hey everybody, I hope you guys are doing well. We miss you. We really do. But until we can get back together and worship again, we are online, and I know that it's been a little bit different for you guys, but the church has really come together in the last few weeks. It's been really cool to see that. You guys are amazing, and I'm really proud to be a part of this church. So thank you for letting me be one of your pastors. Thank you for letting me be your friend, and thank you for just tuning in and hanging out with us in your living rooms or wherever you're at. You might be on your phone outside. I don't know what you guys do in your homes. I have no idea, but I know that you guys are making the best of it. And I've heard more positivity. I've heard a lot of good things from people that I know, my family that are connected to the church. And it's just, you guys are amazing. And so I thank you guys for just being with us. And so more than that, I want to just say to you guys that the church is not a building, right? It really isn't. And we've been talking about that for a very long time. I've spoken about that for a very long time. And it's nice that we have a building. It's nice that when things clear up, we're going to have a place to come back to. But until then, we're still the church. The church is people. It's you. It's I. It's our kids. It's our families. It's our family friends. And I don't know about you guys, but I've been able to hang out with my family more than ever, and I've been able to really get close to them more than ever, and just hold my daughter and hold my other daughter and hang out with my wife. We've had amazing conversations. One of the conversations that we had recently was about anxiety and how we're seeing a lot of anxiety. Now, I don't want to downplay the reality of the situation that we're in, okay? We are in a situation. It's a real thing. And I want to encourage everyone to be responsible. Social distancing is huge. Everything is huge. So it's important that we do that. It's important not to deny the truth of what's going on. There are people that have lost lives. There are many more that could lose lives. And so just keep people in prayer and let's be responsible for one another. I've heard a lot of people say, hey, I'm not worried about getting this disease. I'm not worried about getting sick. I understand that. I'm not worried about getting sick either. But we have to worry about the others that we could give this to. And so let's be careful. And let's just continue being the church in that regard, right? But my wife and I were talking about anxiety, and I had a thought from a sermon a few weeks ago that anxiety and faith actually have a lot in common. They both are based in what you cannot see, and they are both based in what we believe in, and it affects our attitudes, it affects us. The difference, obviously, is that anxiety affects us in a negative way and faith affects us in a positive way. Anxiety is worrying about what could happen in the future. Well, it hasn't happened yet, right? So why worry about it in the future? Take precautions, yes. Do the best you can, but why worry beyond that? I know that's difficult to do, and so I would just encourage you guys to take your attention. Try to take it off of the negative news stories, and when you get into panic, it's okay to be informed, but once you start panicking and worrying, you know, instead of focusing on that, focus your attention on a God who loves you, a God who really cares for you, a Heavenly Father who this was not a surprise to, right? God knows everything. He knows the future. He's already seen the movie. He's seen how it ends. And so let's just trust him and believe that he has something for us. And so anyway, that's my spiel before the spiel. So I'm going to go ahead and pray, and we're going to get into this sermon. All right, Father, we just thank you so much. Lord, I pray right now that you would bless every single person that's listening to this. I pray, Lord, that you would let them know that you are there. Lord, that your Holy Spirit is there, that you love each and every person that's listening to this right now and the people that aren't listening to this. You love us all, Lord, and you you are rooting for us, Lord, and you are wanting to protect us, and you are wanting to give us favor, Lord, but help us to have ears to hear, help us to have eyes to see, help us to focus on what you would have us focus on, Lord, and help us to just know where you're leading us and where you're guiding us, Father. And I just thank you for that, Lord. And I pray that you just anoint this sermon right now. God, it's going to be short and sweet, but I pray that you'd anoint it just like we were at church. I know a lot of people are feeling out of place right now, but I pray that you would anoint this, God, and just speak what you want to speak to each and every single person that's listening to this. And I thank you in advance for doing that, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. So tonight I want to talk to you guys about Peter. We've been doing a Bible study in the book of 1 Peter. We're going to take a break from that tonight. And I'm just going to talk about Peter. I felt like it was on my heart to talk about Peter and his relationship to Jesus. There were monumental moments in Peter's life, and there's six of them that I want to cover with you tonight. And I want us to think about those moments, and I want to think about how God interacts with us the same way. And so the first thing that I want to talk to you guys about is the calling of Peter. We're going to go ahead and start in the book of Matthew, chapter 4. Verse 18, this is Jesus. It says, while walking by the Sea of Galilee, he, Jesus, saw two brothers, Simon, who was later called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And immediately they left their nets and they followed him, right? So just imagine this teenage boy and his brother, they're fishing. They are in business. They're starting their working life and they're busy. They're doing what they're supposed to be doing. They're providing for their families. And Jesus comes by and he says, just drop what you're doing right now and follow me. Just think about that for a second, right? Now think about the situation we're in right now. And for a lot of us, our whole world changed. Everything changed, right? In a moment's notice. And I know that that's probably hard for us as human beings, but all throughout the Bible, we see God calling men and women to change the way they're living in order for something bigger, in order for something more significant. And yes, it was very significant for Peter to fish. It was very significant for him to take care of his family, but he had something more in mind for Peter. And so what Jesus did was he called Peter to follow him, and Peter immediately dropped what he was doing and he walked into a life of significance, a life that would be would make him famous, a life that would make him one of the leaders of the first church, and a life that would enable him to be best friends with Jesus Christ. And so that it's a mind blow, right, that he was able to do that. So the second thing that I want to talk to you guys about tonight is how Peter, when he started following Jesus, one of the first things he did was he invited him into his home. And I thought, man, this is so fitting for what we're dealing with right now, because you guys have an opportunity to invite Jesus into your home. Either he is invited in or he's not. And so let's look at that scripture real quick. It's in Mark chapter 1. And these are all throughout the Gospels, but I chose the ones that would work for tonight. But Mark chapter 1, 29, it says, he left the synagogue. This is Jesus again. He left the synagogue and he entered the house of Simon and Andrew. So Simon is Peter, remember, with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever. And immediately they told him about her. And he came to her and took her by the hand and lifted her up. And the fever left her. And she began to serve them. So what was interesting is that Peter invited Jesus into his home. And with that movement came healing. Jesus was in the home, and because of that, there was healing. Now, I don't know how your home life is. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know if you and your wife or you and your husband have been fighting. I don't know if your kids are going crazy, if they're making you crazy. Kids, trust me, we love you, but sometimes you're a little wild, okay? It just is what it is. Be good to your parents, all right? We don't know. I don't know what's going on in your homes, but I do know that if you invite Jesus in, he brings himself with that. And in that, he brings peace. He brings love. He brings healing. And so I would just encourage you guys to invite Jesus. Is he in your home? Is he there right now? So let's just do this real fast. Let's pray and say, God, Send your Son into our homes right now. Send your Spirit into our homes right now. And let us have you in everything that we do. Let us have you in our meals. Let us have you there with us as we play games. Let us have you there with us as we hang out and talk to each other. So in that, let's just trust that with Him, He's going to bring healing, and He's going to bring love, and He's going to bring peace and everything that He has with us. So the third thing that I want to talk to you guys about is that Peter emulated Jesus. I'm going to turn to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, 25 through 31. It says, "In the fourth watch of the night, He came to them, walking on the sea." So they're out in the boat, and Jesus starts walking on the water towards them. "But when the disciples saw Him walking in the sea, they were terrified and said, 'It's a ghost.' And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid.' And Peter answered Him, 'Lord, if it's You, command Me to come to You out onto the water. And He said, 'Come.'" So Peter sees Jesus out walking on the water, and the first thing he thinks of is, "I should be able to do that too." I don't know about you, but that is not the first thing I would think of. I would just be in shock and be like, "What's going on here? This guy's walking on water? How is he doing this?" And I would just be in awe. But Peter, he had this mindset of, "I want to be where Jesus is. I want to do what Jesus does." He really desired a relationship with Jesus, and Jesus responded to that. He said to come. "Yeah, of course you can come out here and walk on the water with Me. Why not? Of course, Peter." I think he understood relationships. And one of the things that I feel has been interesting to me during this crisis, during this pandemic, is the fact that we're all in this together, right? You've heard this probably over and over, that we're all in this together. But there's such a relational aspect to that. The fact that somebody might be stressing out, you know, that's only a phone call away, and you could call them and you can understand what they're going through. You could jump out in the water with them, so to speak. Like, that's huge, right? The fact that maybe you have older children, older kids, maybe you have teenagers, maybe you have, 16, 17-year-olds that totally understand what's going on and they're freaking out. You have an opportunity to say, "Hey, I don't fully understand what's going on either." One of the things that my parents did with me that I really appreciated was their honesty. Of course, that can go too far, but they were always honest enough to where they communicated to me that they understood that we were in this together. They understood that they have fears and that we have fears too, just the same. And so that was like huge for me when I was a kid. And so I'd encourage you guys to just be honest, have conversations with your family. Say, "Hey, we're in this together. You know, we're gonna live together, we're gonna walk together, we're gonna enjoy this together as much as we can. And when we get afraid, we'll be afraid together. But then we will pray together and we will work this out together," right? Like that is what relationships are about. And so maybe we are not able to high-five each other from when we go to the stores right now. Maybe we're not able to go hug each other at church right now. But the opportunity for us to go deeper in the relationships that we do have is huge. And so I'd encourage you to go deeper, right? To really show the people that are around you that you do care and that you do understand. And sometimes you don't understand. And that's the same way they feel, right? And so that's okay to do that. There's a community aspect to that. And so I just encourage you guys to just take that seriously. The fourth thing is from Matthew chapter 16. And this is a monumental moment in Peter's life. It was a monumental moment in the disciples' lives. It was monumental for Jesus. Jesus had been doing miracles. Jesus had been feeding people. He had been speaking. He had been doing so many amazing things. And there was a lot of confusion about who Jesus actually was. And so in Matthew chapter 16, verse 13, it says, "Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, 'Who do people say that the Son of Man is?' And they said, 'Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets.' And He said to them, 'But who do you say that I am?'" Who do you say that I am? And Peter jumped up and he said, "You're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him and said, "Blessed are you, Simon? For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So Peter hadn't been named Peter until this moment. His name, his common name was Simon, and that meant the listener. And Jesus took this man who his name meant the listener, and he changed his name to the rock. And I just thought, that's so interesting that the listener became the rock. If you want to become a solid individual, you want to become somebody who is trustworthy, somebody who's wise. I said it in one of my devotions recently that I want to grow into an old wise man, maybe with like a long beard. I don't know. That's how I imagine it. But somebody that other people come to find out, you know, what's the truth. That's like a goal of mine. I'd like to be that. I don't know how you do that. But I think that one part of that is listening. And the Bible is all about that. The Bible, there's so many people in the Bible that they go through really difficult times, and they go through struggles, and they go through just wild times. It's never safe, right? But the one key that every single monumental leader in the Bible had was that they heard God, they listened to Him, and God made something into them that they wouldn't have been otherwise if they didn't listen. When was the last time you stopped and shut out all the noise? Just think about it right now. You can hear crickets in the background, right? Everything just fades away when you put your phone down, when you turn the TV off, when you stop listening to music. What is God saying to you? When was the last time you listened? I want to encourage you guys to take time now that you have some time. If you're not working, some people are working, I understand that. If you're not working, take time to just stop what you're doing for a moment. Go to a quiet place and listen and see if God can do with you what He did with Peter. He took the listener and turned him into a rock. Right? Huge. It's amazing what God can do when we just stop and listen. And it makes sense, right? It makes sense that He would be speaking to us. It makes sense that He would be showing us things in our lives. And so I would encourage you to do that. Read the Bible, pray, all that stuff, but also listen. Okay? So you in with me? Are you going to do that in your homes? Think about the spot right now. All right. So the next monumental moment that I want to talk to you guys about is denial. Peter wasn't perfect. Matter of fact, he was far from it. He was a little arrogant sometimes. He was probably somebody that we all wouldn't love to hang around with. He was probably a little self-righteous. He was the guy who was always first, who always said, I'll do that. You know, everybody else is afraid. I'll do it. I'll jump up. I'll jump out into the boat and walk on water, you know, and all the other disciples probably rolled their eyes. Oh, here, there's Peter again, right? Well, there was a moment when Jesus, before He passed, before He died and was resurrected, where He told the disciples that they were all going to fall away from Him. And Peter, in Matthew 26:30, after Jesus says this, Peter answers to Him in verse 33. He says, though they all fall away, He's like probably pointing at the other disciples, I know they will probably fall away, but I will never fall away. I'm not going to do it. And Jesus looks right at Peter, right into his face, I would assume He points into his face, and He says, truly I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows, you'll deny Me three times, Peter. You're not exempt from weakness. You're not exempt from doing the wrong thing, Peter. You are not perfect, Peter. And I don't know what Peter thought, but just to be confronted in that way was probably a little disheartening for Peter. And so Peter went on his way. And in the same chapter, in verse 69, it says, Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. Jesus gets arrested, and Peter is thrown off by that. He didn't really fully understand the severity of the situation. Jesus was arrested and he was being taken to court. He was being taken to Pilate. And it says Peter was sitting outside the court and a servant girl came up to him and says, "You're with Jesus." And he denied it, saying, I don't know what you mean. And when he went out to the entrance, another servant girl saw him and said to the bystanders, "This man was with Jesus. He's one of his friends. This is one of Jesus' friends." And again, he denied it with an oath. "I don't know the man. I don't even know him." And after a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, "Certainly, you too are one of them, for your accent betrays you." He had a Galilean accent. He had a fisherman's accent, right? And they recognized that. And they said, he's definitely one of them. They were down in Jerusalem. You know, what's this Galilean doing down here? He's one of Jesus' friends. And in verse 30 or 74, it says, "Then he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, 'I do not know the man.'" He said it again. And immediately a rooster crows in the background, right? And Peter remembered. Okay, just think about this. Peter remembered the saying of Jesus, "Before the rooster crows, you'll deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. So Peter realized who he was in the moment. He realized that he wasn't perfect. He realized that he was far from perfect. He realized that his weakness was right around the corner. And Jesus called it out, said, you will fall. You will mess up, Peter. You will deny me. You're going to do it too. And it needs to happen, Peter. It needs to happen. Some of us have messed up in our lives. I know that I've had conversations with many of you guys, and you've told me about how you don't feel like you are good enough to be a Christian. You don't feel like you're meant to be here. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, I have always had those thoughts. I've always had those thoughts of like, I'm not good enough, because I know myself. I know what I've done and I know who I am. And I've been very frustrated with myself. There's been so many times where I think I'll never, ever, ever say that thing, or I'll never, ever think that thing. And then I do. And every single time that I mess up and then I admit it, I understand what happens and I have a heart of repentance, I'm reminded that God is still there. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, "Power is perfected in weakness." It's those times when you realize how imperfect you are that God shows up the most. And so I want to encourage you guys to take that seriously. You know, when you mess up, when you feel like you're down and out, and you feel like you're not part of the church, maybe you feel disconnected right now. If that's you, I want to encourage you to understand that God is with you in those moments. God is with you right now. And that power is made in moments of weakness. When we understand who we are, because when we understand who we are, we also understand how much we need God. And so the last monumental moment that I want to talk to you guys about is the moment of restoration. John 21 is where I want to turn. Using a real Bible instead of digital. This is like new territory again. This is like, reminds me of when I first started, when I was doing youth ministry. But John chapter 21, in verse 7, it says, "The disciple whom Jesus loved," who's John, and he's also the author of John, so he referred to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved, right? Instead of just saying, me, right? So the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "Is it Lord? Is it the Lord?" When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, this is, let me give you some context real fast. Jesus had died, he had resurrected, and he was basically on the shore. The disciples had started fishing again because they didn't know what else to do. And so they reverted back to who they were before Jesus called them. And so they're out on the lake, they're out on the Sea of Galilee, which is a big lake, and they're fishing, and they see somebody on the shore, and they're asking the question, "Is it the Lord?" When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and he threw himself into the sea. So we see Peter immediately go back to that moment where he realizes that Jesus is his friend and he wants to be with Jesus. And so he puts his coat on, which like common sense doesn't really make a lot of sense. But I think he wanted to just make sure that he was dressed when he saw Jesus. So he puts his coat on and he jumps into the water. He probably honestly thought that he was going to walk again on the water, but he didn't. He went right into the water and he starts swimming. And the other disciples, what they do is they just get in the boat and they go towards the shore. They probably made it at about the same time. Peter probably felt kind of foolish, right? But they get there at the same time on the shore. And Jesus says down in verse 12, he says, come have breakfast. And he had fish right there on the fire, ready to go. They'd been out fishing, but Jesus had already had what they needed, right? And in verse 15, it says that when they finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than these fish? Do you love me more than what you did before? Do you love me more than that old life that you had? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said, then feed my lambs. And he said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, tend my sheep. And he said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, then feed my sheep. And so what Jesus was saying to Peter was, remember when you were a fisherman before, you thought you knew what your life would be, but I had a different life for you. And I called you to be my friend. I called you to walk with me. And even though Jesus had died, now he had resurrected. And in that, he would soon give the disciples and all the followers of Jesus the Holy Spirit to move on and to still have life with Jesus. And so when Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? Peter said, yes. And then Jesus said, then do what I've called you to do. Then be who I've called you to be. Feed the people around you. We have such an opportunity right now in our homes to feed people, not just food, right? A lot of cooking going on. I've seen new recipes. A lot of people are trying new stuff. A lot of baking going on, right? Sharing it online. It's awesome. I love it. But you have an opportunity to feed your family in a different way. You have an opportunity to feed your family the Word. You have an opportunity to feed your family the water of the Holy Spirit and just to pray for them and just to show them that your faith is real. And so I want to encourage you guys tonight to see the good, right? Of course, there's bad. There's lots of bad. And if you want to focus on the bad, you can do that. You can ruminate. You can worry. That can put you into a really bad state of mind. Or you can choose hope, faith, and love. And you can choose to remember when Jesus first called you. Remember that. Do you remember it? He called you by name. So remember that. And remember that you are called to be his friend and you are called to be his servant. And so I love you guys. Next week, I don't know what we're doing. I have no idea. We're just kind of taking it week by week, but Sunday we will be streaming out again. And so I just want to encourage you guys to just continue being the church, continue sharing love with one another. If you have any type of encouragement for one another, don't let an hour go by. Send out that encouragement tonight. Just a Facebook message, a text message, a phone call. Tell your kids you love them. Kids, tell your parents you love them. And let's enjoy this the most we can, and let's not worry, okay? Because God has already seen what's around the corner, and what's around the corner, well, he'll still be there, right? Love you guys.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org.